Great to have you with us. It's a Thursday, the Thursday before round 22. We've only got two rounds of footy left. I tell you, the AFL ladder is intriguing. Big games on the weekend. Massive one on Sunday. Saturday. When did Collingwood play the Swans? Sunday. 3:20 Sunday.
Sunday.
How big is that?
That is a big game.
There's some illness now.
There's flu.
At the Pies, suggesting that four players didn't train on the weekend. Carmichael, Elliott, McCreary and Hoskin Elliott.
And maybe. I think Ash Johnson too.
Was it? Maybe.
I think he's got a little bit of flu too. Hey, just quickly, tennis at the Canadian Open.
How good is this?
You tell us how good it is.
Well, Nick Kyrgios has beaten the world number one player, Daniil Medvedev, 2-1.
Yep.
And the Demon is also playing. He's a set down to Grigor Dimitrov on serve, 5-4 up in the second set.
Okay. Where do you want to start?
It's a good effort to beat the world number one.
My word it is. Where do you want to start with the footy discussion this morning?
I don't know.
Tasmania? Because you seem to be very confused about what's going on down there in Tasmania at the moment.
Well, I'm fascinated that I've made a few indirect inquiries, nothing that I can quote anyone on.
Right.
The AFL clubs were fully expecting to be furnished with a detailed report on Tasmania so that they can vote. They thought they would have the report in their meaty hands so they could pore over it with their directors and whoever else they need to make an informed decision. We were told that this decision would be made in August. We're now on the 11th day of August. Nothing. Well, that's from my man. I don't know whether there's any.
Zero, he's saying, is he?
Nothing has come across the desk from the AFL in regard to into the 19th licence being in Tasmania.
Okay, but then this is the Premier down there in Tasmania talking yesterday, Jeremy Rockliffe.
The bid we've put forward does not include the stadium. We're working through aspects of the stadium as we speak, including, of course, our feasibility study, which we've committed to as well.
Well, if they're not worrying about the stadium, then push on and give us all the other details of the bid. Not ask, the clubs.
But maybe the AFL have things that they haven't then necessarily passed on to all the club directors and people.
The AFL haven't passed anything on.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what I understand.
Well, that's what you're saying, that they haven't passed anything on. Yeah. So they have zero to actually look at the moment.
Federal Labor Infrastructure Minister, Catherine King. So from a federal point of view, she said the priority was to land the 19th licence. Focus on building the stadium. So there's some support from the federal government. So I don't know. It's just strange to me. I would have thought, given that they said that this vote would be had in August, that you'd need at least a few weeks to pore over all the information and detail and data.
Mm.
So nothing. That's what
there's
I'm
told. Something going on there, isn't there?
Well,
there's a stalling. There's a reason behind that stalling.
I'm a supporter. I'm supportive of the notion, but it sounds like. And again, this is a very naive. All I know is that they haven't got the info. That's what I'm told.
Yep.
It just sounds like it's amateurish is not the word. But if you had everything, all your ducks in a row and ready to go, you go bang, here it is. And any questions, we're ready to go.
You're a lot smarter than me.
No, I'm not. Is
there some connection here between, say, the broadcast rights not reaching an agreement in any way, and the AFL not prepared to push forward on the Tasmanian bid until they actually have some more understanding and information about what that broadcast rights might be beyond the next 2 years? Do you think that's connected in any way?
Well, why you would know that when you started to put an August timeline on everything.
Yeah, but they thought that they might have the broadcast rights deal done by this time as well.
Well, tell us that. So listen,
they don't have to tell us that.
Well, yes, they do. We said that we were going to have information out to all the clubs in August so that we could have a vote on this Tasmanian licence before the final start. But I can tell you now we've got a little stone in our shoe about the broadcast rights. We thought it would get done so we can push that back.
Yeah. Okay, but it wouldn't be unreasonable to think that that might be the case, would it be, that has happened?
Say that again. I'm talking to the producer.
I know you're talking.
Alex Demon was a setup. Yes, he is, Luke. Thank you. Information came to me. Otherwise, but you are right. He's a setup.
My point is that in the thinking around all this and the divvying up of all the money that they might be able to gain the AFL, they've got AFLW, they've got a new agreement that they've got to sign with the players.
Yep.
They've got this all that stuff, right? And now you've got. Now you've got GWS too saying that they would like to see the return of Kohler up there in New South Wales to help them retain players. Like there are a lot of things on their plate at the moment.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't be committing to anything until you knew where you're going to be in 7 years' time, which is effectively the next 2 years of the broadcast rights and another 5 years beyond that.
Yeah, but you would have anticipated that when you're starting to make noise about this licence. And I accept all of that. But you're not telling me that they're still waiting on some details of the other franchise team that's come in, the Giants, on whether or not they can pay outside a soft cap is holding up a potential 19th licence. You're not telling me that, surely.
Well, I'm telling you this. I think they got pushed around a little bit regarding the timeline on Tasmania, right? That wasn't necessarily of the AFL's doing at that time. It was a lot of conversation going around there. Tasmania were pushing that type of thing. So
didn't Gill say
they got led by the
answer?
Nose there in some way.
Didn't Gill, I might be wrong, didn't Gill say that we would have an answer in August?
Yeah, no, he did. But what I'm saying now is that that wasn't necessarily, that whole announcement wasn't necessarily to a timeline that they probably projected.
Well, it's not being
back
communicated to club land is my indication anyway.
Okay. Well, I don't know where you think it's going to land.
I don't know. It's a, who would know? But it would appear some way off if they haven't even got the details out to the clubs.
But it's convenient also for the AFL if they want to stall the whole thing and Tasmanian government are saying, okay, no, this bid won't include a stadium.
Federal
but the AFL are saying, oh, yeah,
is.
But we want it to include a stadium.
The federal government's given it support.
Okay. Let's move on to another topic because this is Ben Rutten speaking about Dyson Heppel's future, the captain at Essendon yesterday.
He's been a great servant for our footy club. He doesn't owe us anything. We'll be really supportive of Dyson, all of our players, whatever decisions they make. There's a romance around playing for one club, but I get the landscape we're in.
Okay. What do you think, reading between the lines?
They'd like to keep him, but if he goes, he goes. That's the way I read that. They're not going to make it.
They won't keep him at any cost.
No, and they will have communicated that to him, but I think in the end they would say if you get a deal that's better than the one that we've got here, then we can't match it. So if you choose to go, we won't hold that against you.
All you would hope for in a circumstance like that when you've been a great servant for a football club and you're the captain is that all negotiations are honest and above board and people are telling you exactly as it is and how they feel around it.
Yeah.
That's all you hope for.
Yep, yep, for sure. And for Essendon fans that love Dyson Heppel, you would also hope that they are looking at this going, this is trying to get the best result for Dyson and for Essendon.
Yeah.
And that maybe Dyson being at Essendon next year is not the best result.
Yeah. And it's not beyond the realms of possibility that they're saying, look, we really only want to offer you a one-year deal. Potentially you could trigger a second-year deal. But if there's another club out there prepared to give you an ironclad 2 years and the potential to go on as a coach there for another 2 years, then maybe that's in your best interest.
I think so. That's the way it looks to be playing out, I reckon, at the moment. This Brodie Grundy situation gets more and more interesting, doesn't it?
Well, particularly when it's been reported that Max Gorn has said that he'd be prepared to step aside as the number one ruckman and play more as a forward.
Yes, and then you add on top of that, I think JZ Clark reporting that the Collingwood Footy Club are prepared to pay some of Brodie's salary.
Up to $300,000. But I think this is the interesting part, right? If you're Collingwood and you're negotiating potentially with more than one suitor, then that could be part of the negotiation. So depending upon, it might be Geelong that's prepared to pay more or you get more interested parties in. So when this all gets done, it may be that Collingwood don't have to carry another $300,000 in their salary cap because of the competitive tension out there.
If you're a Collingwood fan, what's your thoughts on $250,000 to $300,000 being paid to have Treloar play at Western Bulldogs, and potentially $250,000 to $300,000 to have Brodie Grundy play? That's a $600,000 impost on your salary cap.
Mm.
The fact that your club's won 11 on the bounce
makes it easier.
It does make it easier, doesn't it?
Makes it easier to swallow. I was thinking this yesterday, Gary. If they weren't winning and they weren't where they are on the ladder now and we're still having these discussions, because we probably would be because they still need to sort of manoeuvre their salary, then it would be a whole different landscape.
I think that's right, and that's good on them. They've got themselves into a position now maybe where they can turn their minds to it as well, given how well they're playing. If they weren't playing this well, then maybe they're looking at Brodie and saying, We need to keep him. We need him to bring him back into this side to make us really strong and competitive. They're really strong and competitive. Yep. They're second on the ladder.
Exactly, exactly. And do you think that they would have even entertained the idea of going after McStay had Ash Johnson shown the form way back at the beginning of the season that he's now showing?
I don't. That's a curiosity because Ash Johnson's performances have been on display now for long enough to, you would think, for them to reassess their mixed day commitment, if in fact that's... But what I'm told, and I'm only going on what I'm told, is that deal's done.
Yes. Yes, I believe that they are a long, long way down the track there.
So and maybe they've got another role for him. So.
Yeah. And maybe there's been a rethink too on Jordan Degoe. Like the people I spoke to last week said, no, like he's out the door. But then now that may not be the case.
How? What? From a Melbourne point of view, what do you think from the outside? You look at it and go, well, does Grundy and... If in fact, and I'd imagine this is still a mile off, if it happened, do you as an opposition supporter go, geez, that's
powerful?
You do?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I think you know, like
on what basis?
Well, because you got two key big guys playing in the one team, and I think the challenge will be for Max to be able to play that forward role. They say that they want to definitely play more forward and less in the ruck, and if they got Grundy, they'd be able to do that. What we don't know is how good a forward Max might be consistently.
Yeah, so and they would have to have that confidence. What if by round eight next year, Max has played forward, kicks seven goals, and it's not working and there's no pressure in that forward 50, what do they do then?
Well, they second guess.
Well, it's a big, but that's what I'm saying. And
yeah, but
they're better placed to make this judgment than us, but they must have some genuine confidence that he'd have to be a 30 to 40 goal kicker a year.
Yeah, but they've been forced to do this in some ways because Luke Jackson is leaving.
Well, yeah, if in fact, yeah, they still haven't had the answer. That's what they tell me. But they need
clearly they think though that he's going to go.
Well, they say they have to have a contingency because they're committed to a two ruck program, and the next
and it's worked well for them.
Yeah, 100% it has. So, I think it's a fascinating one. Big Max, are using good nick. What's the most goals Max Gorn's kicked in a year? I don't know. He's been
in a game.
Yeah, in a year or in a go. He kicked five and a quarter from the ruck in a prelim final. Interesting situation.
Where would you fear him most if you were an opposition coach? In the ruck, just going forward a bit, or more as a forward and less in the ruck?
Nah, well, a ruck for me because of how he supports the whole club and the back line and getting into holes and all that sort of stuff and his tap work. But he's kicked 16 goals is the most he's kicked in a year. But that's
in a season, yeah.
That's as a ruckman. So it's a fascinating proposition. Alex Dimonor just won as one match point. So he's beaten Grigor Dimitrov 7-6, 7-5. So both the Aussies have had big wins at the Canadian Open.
Gary and Tim, absolute disgrace shelling out $600,000 is absolutely ludicrous. That's from a Collingwood fan. Jack's in Moorabbin. Good morning, Jack.
Yeah, good day, Tim. Good day, Gaz. Hey, I agree completely. Shelling out the $600,000 is stupid. Listen, I actually heard that Jay-Z sources on that Grundy trade, Tomato and Worcestershire, were very solid sources there. I've got equally solid sources, mate, in Barbecue and Soy that say that Hawthorn are riding to Grundy now because McAvoy's retired. I'm sure Tabasco will have something to say next week about, I don't know, Geelong or Richmond or whoever else that another journo wants to make up.
So, yeah. Well, Jack, the source is out of the bottle.
So, Jack, you're saying that it's all nonsense, are you?
Well, I'm just saying, mate, that Tabasco and Worcestershire and Barbecue are generally not that accurate.
Well, Simon Goodwin Orbit confirmed it when he did his press conference yesterday, Jack. So I know I can hear your scepticism, but old Jay-Z Clark is 100% on the money. Here's Simon Goodwin.
About Luke a lot. You know, we're going to give him the most amount of time for him to make his decision, and we don't know what that decision is at the moment. So we'll continue to build contingencies. Gorn is looking more and more dangerous as a forward, and it's something that we've liked in the last 3 or 4 weeks, and it's something that we'll continue to pursue. So, you know, two rucks is something, you know, with the right mix will work for us.
Okay, there's some competitive tension out there because there's more than one club that wants Brody Grundy, right?
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, Brody will decide which club he wants to go to, won't he? He's not necessarily going to have to go to the club which offers the best deal for the Collingwood Football Club and pays most of his salary.
I suspect he still would probably prefer to stay where he is.
Well, that might be the case too. That might be the case.
But he hasn't had a chance to, because he's out for the season, to get back in and play and shovel his way back into the number one ruck spot.
But Hawthorn might be after him, mate. And they may have the money in their salary cap. And they may be the ones that go to Collingwood and say, look, we'll take Brodie Grundy. We'll take over his contract. You won't have to pay any of his contract. And Collingwood go, fantastic. We want him to go to Hawthorn. They go and have that conversation with him. I don't want to go to Hawthorn.
No.
I want to go to Melbourne. They're competing for the flag. I know they're going to be competing for the flag next year again.
Mm. And they train next door to where I am, where I'm
comfortable.
My life up. I don't really want to drive out to Dingley or out to Waverley. I think it's going to be very, very interesting off-season. A lot of people say that every single year. I think this year that will be the case. Lee Adams is going to join us. Cal Toomey from the AFL. Steve Smirlis, the Slipster, also to join us. Oh, it's a very, very busy morning. Lots of messages, lots of invested people. Because if your team's not contending for finals, you want to know how you're going to get better outside of that. I tell you one.
Yes.
If it falls over, Nick Bryant is a man at Essendon, your club.
Yeah. Don't start right now, young talent.
Draper has now emerged and put himself as the number one. He's got a lot of talent, that boy. If it falls over and Jackson goes and Grundy doesn't go, go and get him.
He's contracted at Essendon.
Cost you a pie and chips.
No, they like him at Essendon.
Oh, well.
Just bringing him along nicely.
I'm sure they do. I think he's a super talented kid. Robert's in Port Melbourne. Go, Rob.
G'day, Gary. G'day, Tim. How are you going?
Go, Rob.
Just want to say a couple of things about Collingwood. I'm a Collingwood supporter. Mm-hmm. I think you'll find Daniel McStay is being brought in as a defender. Mm-hmm. Jeremy Howe is going to be 33 next year. And Ruff has just retired.
Yep.
So he's been brought in to shore up the defence. But Brodie Grundy, the only way I can see him leaving Collingwood is if another club picks up the whole contract. If Collingwood pay another $300,000 for two players to play at other clubs, the supporters are going to riot. And he's a required player as well. Yeah. I can't see it happening.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And he would have to want to leave and go to that club too, Rob. I mean, it might be a great deal where they're going to pay the whole salary. But if he turns around and says, no, I don't want to go there, then he can stay.
Will he... Well, yes, he can. That's exactly
he's got a
right.
contract.
I think the last player that said that was Adam Treloar.
Yes, and that got really messy, didn't it?
He ain't there anymore.
No, but that got really messy.
Well, it did, but that's maybe it's a different regime there now. They can cuddle them up and keep them happy.
I want to play this. This is Caro on Classified last night, just talking about some issues that she has heard about at Essendon.
Not a fallout, but there is some genuine tension between Adrian Dodoro, long-time recruiter, list manager, etc., and the head of footy in Josh Marnie, which is disappointing. I'm not sure where Blake Carosella is going to be next year, but he also has a rock-solid 2 years left, a very highly paid rock-solid contract, but he will definitely be in a different role next year if he's there.
What's that mean? Not a fallout.
Not a fallout, and it's disappointing. I would think that there is tension at most football clubs, particularly those that are underperforming, and Essendon has underperformed this year. So I hear there's tension, then yeah. I'm not unhappy if it's my football club, because I would hope that there's some form of tension there.
I'm not doubting Caro's story, but what does it mean, though? Is it how you spin it. So
yes.
What you're saying is totally reasonable. Yeah, there's tension because, this bloke's pushing hard for this, and this guy's pushing hard for that, and...
Dodoro is the list manager, by the way.
I would imagine there's tension on a whole host of issues at Geelong. There'd be some tension over decisions.
Always.
So I don't. Maybe there's more to it, though. She said it's...
But if there was more to it, then...
Well, there's disappointing tension.
Yeah, well, I don't know what the disappointing tension might be, but I would think that they have conducted their internal review.
Mm.
It's been ongoing.
When are we going to hear about that? Will they tell us?
At some point, they may not make a public announcement about it, but we may see that they've shifted some people around. That's probably what will happen.
Supporters get informed about the results?
At some point they should, yeah. At some point they should. Hey, but they don't need to know exactly now what they're thinking.
Patrick Cripps' appeal, yep, we get it. It's important. According to the AFL rule, four conditions are listed as error of law, that's the decision was so unreasonable that no tribunal acting reasonably could have come to that decision. I don't think that's the case.
Can't see that.
Having regard to the evidence before it, classification of offence is manifestly excessive or inadequate. I don't see it. It can't be manifestly excessive.
Yeah.
And the sanction imposed is manifestly excessive or inadequate. Well, excessive in this case. It's not 2 weeks is not manifestly excessive if you're found guilty.
Yeah. Okay, so successful will their appeal be tonight?
Well,
then?
Again, we always put the rider on it. Once you go up to the tribunal or the appeals board or wherever it is, we're not really sure how it's going to play out. But on that basis, I'm not sure how the appeal will go, but I understand them having a go at it.
Yeah, they have to. They have to. I mean, it's a desperate situation that they find themselves in.
Mm.
Don't you think?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
I just want to throw this out. I mentioned this briefly before. Tony Shepherd, he wants the AFL to consider the reintroduction of COLA up there in New South Wales. Now, this is not a news story. Obviously, it got taken away from them up there. He wants it to be reintroduced. He says that it affects their ability to re-sign players and also, more importantly in some ways, to be able to recruit coaches as well, because it's so much more difficult for them to find a place to rent up there as a coach when you might only have a couple of years. So you're not going to go up there to New South Wales and buy a home. You're going to be renting. Much more expensive to rent up there, and therefore they should be given some allowance because of that.
I want to give you your flowers here, which is the term that you use. Remember we played Gil McLaughlin on Neil Mitchell when the talk about trying to put together a package for Alistair Clarkson, and you're looking at it and people go, well, yeah, okay, if he wants that much money, which I don't believe is the case, then they'll be able to pay him outside the cap, ambassadorial money, whatever the case may be. And then North Melbourne understandably go, hang on a damn minute. We're fighting against it anyway. Our club's struggling on the bottom of the ladder. We're trying to attract a coach of the calibre of Alistair Clarkson. We need to be on a level playing field. And I'm paraphrasing. I'm trying to find the grab here. He, at the time, Gil said, no, he won't be paid.
An ambassadorial role outside of his coaching.
The soft cap won't be there available for it. And then he put a little rider on it. You picked up absolutely spot on at the time. Let's have a listen.
GWS get extra financial assistance, so to get Alistair Clarkson through the door?
No, the same cost the soft cap applies to all clubs, Neil. That's not in consideration that there'd be any additional monies in the cap for that.
In the cap.
In the
picked
cap.
Up on that. Mm. And since then, the door's been thrown open again. Now, then there's been a change. Oh, well, if there's some ambassador, you can't do it when you're negotiating the deal. So you go, okay, Clarko, here's what we're going to pay you. Bang.
Yeah.
But once we sign you, if some ambassadorial money comes along.
Became available.
So come on. If you're the Kangaroos, you just got to accept that. You're sitting there going, oh, that's what we're up against.
Are they whistling Dixie, though, GWS and Sydney? We know that Sydney has been hot on this topic for a long period of time since it was taken away from them.
I would think, given that all clubs have been absolutely savage from a soft cap point of view, to have that reinstated, I think, is going to be a stretch. They would rail vehemently. I mean, Hardwick and Beveridge, and they've all been going off their nut about the soft cap. If all of a sudden GWS or Sydney got another bump up, then I think there'd be a fair blue going on, wouldn't there?
Yeah. There's always negotiation that takes place behind the scenes, though. It's a bit like politics. We'll take this from you, but we'll give you this over here.
That's why you're a wise old man. I'm a bit more naive than you. City Power upgrades, keeping electricity in Melbourne CBD reliable. Currently 13 degrees. Not getting much warmer today. It's only going to be a top of 14. A lot of love for Nick Kyrgios, who's beaten Daniel Medvedev. Andy Roddick says he should be the favourite for the US Open, which begins at the end of August. Renee Stubbs has tweeted this. When he plays tennis and keeps his stuff together, he's seriously close to the best tennis player in the world. Serves untouchable at the moment. Fitness level's high. His tennis acumen's unreal. That effort after losing the first set was impressive. Kyrgios is going to face Alex Dimonor in the round of 16 after Dimonor defeated Grigor Dimitrov.
Has he turned the corner?
Don't know. No, well, who would know? Could you confidently say that?
No. Because you and I both agree that the spots, they get bigger or they get smaller, don't they? When somebody shows you what they are, believe. Hey, I want to talk just quickly. Is the greatest disappearing act in AFL football in the last 50 years, has it been the hype around Matty Rowell? Think back to his first three games of AFL football, and then now think about the last time you heard anybody raving about Matty Rowell's football.
Yeah, I think Yes. No, your point is well made. But I also think Matty Rowell's been playing some really good footy.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that he hasn't.
No, but I think, yeah, at the time, three best on grounds in the first 3 weeks is going to cause some hype, isn't
Everybody
it?
Is talking about Tuke Miller now, though, as their most important midfielder.
Yeah.
Anderson probably has even maybe gone past him in some people's minds as to how important he might be in the midfield. He does a Rowell does a lot of that really hard, inside grunt work.
That's what I was going to say. In the 3 weeks, we got the snapshot of him and it was brilliant, but that's not a long enough period of time to reveal, you know, everything. What we now have seen and he has revealed is that his football is more blue collar than perhaps three best on grounds in 3 weeks suggests. So we've just got to make the adjustment. He's still a beauty, Matty Rowell.
I'm not saying that.
No, I know you're not.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. But the change around the conversation regarding him and his football.
Yeah.
Is remarkable the way that it's changed.
And understandable.
Yeah.
Given that he ripped the whole competition to shreds in three games of footy.
Yeah, I know. Look, and somebody sent a text message about it. We know. We've acknowledged the fact that he's had injury and serious injury that he had to get over as well. But he's probably exactly what they want, Stewie Jew wants. Yeah. That bloke that just turns up every week. And he knows that he's going to give him 100% effort. And he's going to be able to be an inside midfielder that is a beast.
Number one tackler. Hi, guys. Can't understand the thinking of some supporters saying paying $300,000 of Grundy's wage is bad. Give us the availability of $700,000 to throw towards McStay, Hill, and maybe Taranto. Cameron Cox play better without him. Look at the big picture and what it is. So there's a positive take on it from Roger.